This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
I will be what you call me to be. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Our scripture, Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 31. And it reads, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them." We never realize how important focusing is until things are out of focus. We're just our screens, we're just our TVs, we're just our video equipment, because we all want to see clearly. We want it sharp. We want and need focus. We live in a time when so much is going on until it's just hard to focus. It's hard to focus. It's hard to focus, especially it's hard to focus on what God has for us to do and for us to be who God wants us to be. It's hard for us to focus and say, "God, have your way in my life. Let your will be done in me and through me." But listen, we must focus. We must focus to be all that God has designed us to be. And if we can focus on who God is and what God has done and what God expects from us, if we can have that focus, we can have the joy and the peace that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We must focus. This is our year of action. It's time to put into action what we have heard, what we've learned down through the years. We've talked about how God has blessed us, how God has kept us. We know the Bible stories. We know the great things that God has done in the past. We know the great things that he's done in our lives. We have many testimonies, how God has brought us through it, how God has brought us to it and brought us through it. We can tell the story. We can tell the old story. But not only must we tell it, we have to show it in our everyday life. And it's time for us to put into action all the things we've learned, all the things that we have garnered together and can share with each other. We need to actually do. I'm sure you'd agree with me, though, that there are some things in God's word that tells us to do it, and we say, "It's impossible. I can't do that. I know me. I can't do that." But I want you to know today, yes, you can do it. Well, no, I agree with you. No, you can't do it. Not on your own. And that's why he doesn't leave us on our own. That's why the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us when we come to know Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit guides us, directs us, lives in us, and gives us the opportunity to hone in and to focus on who God is and to focus how much he loves us and cares for us. And then let us focus that when we trust him with all of our hearts and lean out to our own understanding, we can have the joy that comes from this relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's where we have joy. That's where we have real peace in coming to know God. So I would say that our text that we have today, it's sort of what we might call it a difficult text. It's a text that we kind of believe, well, we don't really need to do it the way that it says do it, but it's God's word. And I believe we need to do it the way God's word is saying and understand what God is saying to us. Out of all the things we can preach, all the things all the preachers can preach, today, again, we're preaching what Jesus preached. We like to call this a Sermon on the Mount. So we're going to preach what Jesus preached. And I want us to hear the words, but actually, hear the intent for the attitude that God wants us to have in those things that we're doing. Now, I've already said, In order to begin to get to where we could do this, this is the meat of the gospel. In order to get where we could do the meat of the gospel, we have to prepare ourselves. And that's where focus comes in. We have to prepare ourselves, be ready to do God's will, God's way, and for God to get the glory. And when God gets the glory, you sure enough won't have a story. Well, what are we talking about? Well, let's look at it. There must be preparation in order to effectively move into action the way that God wants us to act. If we're going to act the way God wants us to act, if we're going to be active and do the things in an active way God wants us to do, we're going to have to really focus upon who God is. We have to focus upon how much He loves and cares for us. We have to focus that God's way is the way. So what is that we should do? Well, notice in this text today that it says something to us. Again, I left off last week, was what we said. But I say to you, this is Jesus saying it, verse 27, chapter 6 of the Gospel according to Luke. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Last week we talked about that. We really dwelt on that. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. We say love, but we say love your enemies is being more specific. Love them. Do those kind things to them. If you don't love them in such a way that you love them when they do nice things to you, you love them in spite of what they've done to you, because that's kind of why they're your enemies. They've done things. But we also talked about bless those who curse you. Bless those who curse you. Yeah, you need to be a blessing to people who've cursed you. I know you're saying, no, that ain't going to happen. Yes, it can happen. When you really get your attitude focused upon who God is and wanting to do things God's way, you will be blessed by that. But today, we look at another one. It's one of these hard ones. If we look at it. Pray for those who abuse you. That's where we are today. Pray for those who abuse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Matter of fact, we can just put it this way because it goes a little further than that. It says, pray for those who abuse you. The one who strikes you on the cheek, turn also the other. Let's deal with the first part about abuse. We hear so much about abuse. He's actually saying, pray for those who abuse you. Yep. King James says, pray for those who despitefully use you. So we're going to pray for those who abuse and misuse. Yeah. I know you're asking why. Why am I praying for that scoundrel? Why am I praying for that abuser? Well, you probably answer, well, yeah, I can pray for him. Yeah. You know, God, trip him up. God, you know, make him fall down some stairs. God, kill him. That could be your prayer. But that's not the intent of what this word is telling us. No, that's not it at all. That's not even close to it. You're praying that they will be in a better predicament. You're actually having a heart to pray to God that God would take care of them. Because listen, no. The focus is on who God is and what God desires. Again, it's God's will that none should perish. Even the person that's doing all that crazy stuff to you and done crazy stuff to you. The focus is on your health and well-being. See, don't get so concerned about them and their end, how they're going to get theirs. And really don't get caught up in how you're going to make sure they get theirs, because that is not the focus of what God would have you focus on when He says, pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for those who abuse you. No, focus on your health. Focus on you and your well-being. There are laws in place to deal with those that are abusive physically and mentally. But there are even though the laws, we have the laws in life, even when they are no longer in your life, you still have to heal from the abuse. If you get rid of all the abusers, they're all gone. They don't have nothing to do with you. They're not in your life. They're in prison. They're in jail. They're gone. They're gone. There are no more abusers in your life. But you still have the scars. You still have been abused. How do you heal? How do you get better? And this is what Jesus is trying his best to get us to understand and to hear. If we will put ourselves and focus upon who he is and bless those who curse us, love your enemies, and if we could pray for those who abuse us, you're praying not really so much you're praying for them, but you're praying for yourself. But the best way you could get relief is that you honestly, within your heart and your mind and your soul, you're not carrying all that stuff, that thing that they have done to you, where you're constantly thinking about them and thinking about the abuse. No, you can guide yourself in such a way that even though they've done that, you can pray for the abuser. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for those who abuse you. I know it's a hard text, but it's helping us focus upon your well-being. Your focus and condition your mind and your heart so you can be healed. Focus so you can have peace. If you can truly, honestly pray for them as one who cares about their being in a real relationship with God, even though you're praying for them, you're really focusing on you. The focus is really your relationship with God. Right, whatever they have done, however they have abused, whatever they have done, if you can position yourself and focus in such a way where your focus is on God, what does God desire? And it's God's desire that they make heaven their home too. Now, of course, if they have a relationship with Christ, they shouldn't be abusive at all. They have a relationship with Christ, they shouldn't be despitefully using anyone at all. So part of the prayer for them to come get Christ, if they're going to be anywhere in your life, if they're in your family, if they're anywhere around you, if they know, honestly, truly know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that whole attitude, that whole abusive behavior has to change. But again, if it doesn't change and they get locked up and they're put away or whatever else, you still need to heal. So you pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for those who abuse you. Pray in such a way that you can receive the joy that God has for you. I know you're saying, how do I get my joy back? You can get your joy back and get God's will done. See, this is what we gotta stop. This is what we gotta stop. I know we think that if I could just get back at it, if I could just hurt him a little bit, if I could, I can't let them get away with this. No, they can't. No, I don't care if they go to jail or whatever else. I still got a one time. I gotta let them know that I don't appreciate what they did. I don't appreciate how they treated me. I don't appreciate how they handled me. I gotta get them. Well, understand, Jesus is helping us to have joy in our life in spite of what others have done. He's helping us to have a way to have joy and peace in the midst of confusion. Only God can do that. Don't get caught up in all the stuff that folk are doing and how folk have mistreated you. Don't get so caught up in how you've been mistreated that you can't get back or even get better from where you were. God has designed our lives so we can get better. You can get better. You can be better. No matter what you've gone through, God has created things in you to help you to be everything he wants you to be so you can trust him. Focus on who God is. Focus on Jesus. Focus on his word. How does that help? How does this help? When he said pray for them. I'm glad he said pray for them. Pray for them. Why does prayer help? I'm glad you asked. I can tell you how prayer helps. Look at how prayer helps. It says, if you focus on God and his word, you will actually realize that God will do something great and marvelous in you. Look at what Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Go ahead and turn with me. Philippians 4, beginning with verse 4. You're going to see how you can't allow others to just dominate you. and dominate your thoughts and dominate your actions, and you just can't recover from that. You can recover because God loves. Listen to what Jesus is saying to us. Look, listen to what the Word of God says to us in Ephesians, in Philippians, I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. First of all, when is always? Yeah, you got to focus on Christ. Rejoice in the Lord. This ain't rejoice in the bad things that happen in your life. This ain't rejoice because you have abusers in your life. Didn't say rejoice because people have done all kind of mean things. No, no, no. You're rejoicing in the Lord always. You're rejoicing in God. You're rejoicing knowing who He is, how He blessed you, how He's kept you, how He brought you through, how He's even been with you in the midst of your abusing someone else that you may not have known you were abusing the way you were abusing, or at least they thought you were abusing them. And you said, no, I didn't know I was doing it. The way you spoke to someone, the way you handled someone, the way you did not give people back the money that you promised to give them. I don't know what it is. I don't know how it happened. But in all of this, we can focus on who God is and how He wants us to live. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Verse 5. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Let folk know that whatever you're going through, you're still a reasonable person because of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Quit worrying about stuff. That's part of when folk have done things to us. We worry about the next time. If I forget them for this, they're going to come back and do it again. They're going to do this again. Quit worrying about stuff. No, no, no. Trust God with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. It says, look, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't be worried about anything. Don't stand up excited and mad and can't sleep and carry on about anything. Don't let anything get on your last nerve to the point that you just can't function. Focus. Focus on who God is. Focus on how much He loves you. Focus on how much He cares for you. Focus on what He's already done for you. Focus that He's already made a way out of no way for you. Focus on the fact that He loves and cares for you, and He's a God that rules and super rules. You can focus on these things and not on all the stuff that's keeping you down and keeping you depressed and keeping you looking all around. Focus on who He is. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, woo, praise His name. Listen to what it says. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, in other words, whatever it is you're going through, pray. Yeah. Pray. And he looks at this as supplication. He's saying pray, but you ain't just got to be praying for everybody else and everything else. He says pray with supplication. In other words, you can pray, and even in your prayer, you can ask Him for stuff. You can ask Him to fix stuff. You can ask Him to work on every situation going on in your life. Yeah, sometimes we just have to focus more on who God is and pray more. I said sometimes we just need to pray more. Listen, do you talk to God more than you talk to the person you talk to about what they did to you? How much time do you spend telling your friend? How much time do you spend writing on Facebook? How much time do you spend telling other people? How much time do you spend on the phone? How much time have you been emailing? How much time have you been talking on Instagram? How much time have you been spending tearing down folk who told you that? And how much time do you spend talking to God about it? How much time would you take speaking to the Lord and allowing the Lord to speak back to you about that person or that situation or what you're going through? Paul says, go take time to pray about it. Don't worry about it. Pray about it. If you're going to pray, don't worry. If you're going to worry, don't pray. But I'm saying if you're going to worry, pray anyway. Pray, but always put prayer first. Take time to talk to God. God wants to hear from you, but you got to focus. You got to focus because so much stuff can happen and you can be so confused, you can be so down, you can be so frustrated till you're just walking around and you just feel like you can't pray. That's a lie. It's Satan himself trying to keep you from being what God has called you to be. Whatever situation you're in, you can take time to talk to God about it because He wants to hear from you. Matter of fact, the scripture is clear. Sometimes you're praying, you don't even know what you're praying about, but the Holy Spirit is able to take those utterances and give them to God where it actually not only makes sense, but it's beneficial to us. But it says, The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Now, you're going to pray, you're going to ask him for things, but notice what it says. It says, with thanksgiving. Woo! At least be grateful for what God has already done. When you ask him about stuff that still needs to happen in your life, it says, and with thanksgiving. Come on, you got to take time and say, Lord, I thank you. Glory, hallelujah. I don't care how bad it is right now. Focus for me, focus for me. Come on, type it in. Lord, I thank you. I need everybody doing it. Just type it in. Lord, I thank you. Yeah, you get, there's something you can thank God for. That's what helps you to get the focus. Yeah. But before you really want to ask him for anything, you want to thank him for everything. Ooh, come on. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. I feel it better right now. You can feel it right now. You may be down, things may have happened, but just take time right now. Somebody may be looking at you right now. Somebody may have texted you already and trying to do their best to get you down. Satan's trying to distract you from this message because you say, no, I don't want to forgive them. I want to stay mad at them. I want something bad to happen. But no. Focus. With everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you. Has he done anything for you? Has he blessed you? Wait, not just blessed you. Has he brought you through a difficult situation that you thought you couldn't get through? Was there a time when you thought that this was the end and it was just another beginning and things are better now than it was? Lord, I thank you. Oh, yeah. You can thank him that we had an election. And we had two senators to go to Washington, D.C. from the state of Georgia. Yeah, you can thank them. You can thank the Lord for that, because that did take a miracle. And if we're going to have folk, the state of Senate, and we're going to get folk who really care about people, all people, yeah, you're going to have to pray and ask God to move in a special way so these laws that are trying to suppress the vote, it won't work, it won't happen, because you're praying and you're not getting focused on the evil that people are trying to do. You're going to focus on who God is and say, Lord, I thank you. And notice the tricks of Satan won't work, then we're going to trust God. Can I see you saying, Lord, I thank you? Listen, it says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, go ahead and let your request be known to God. All right, let me do another way. Think about it. If you knew that Oprah Winfrey was going to give you whatever you wanted for your birthday, but all you had to do was ask her for it, would you at least ask her? I mean, I don't know Oprah like that. Would you text her? Would you email? If you could get in touch with Oprah and just let her know what you wanted for your birthday, would you at least call her? Would you at least text her? Would you try to get in touch with her? Well, let me say this to you. You might not be able to get Oprah. You may not have a phone number. You may not have an email address. You may not know how to get her on Instagram. You may not know how to contact Oprah or her agent or anybody who knows her. You can't get Gail, you can't get, what's his name, Stefan, you can't get none of them. But I can tell you one you can get. You don't have to look high and look low. He's always with you. You can depend on God. But look, the great thing about it, Oprah may not know you. Oprah may not know that if you call her or if you text her, she may not have an idea why you asked her for anything. But there's one who sits high and looks low who's waiting to hear from you. You got to hear me. He's waiting to hear from you. He's just waiting on us to be focused on who he is and to position ourselves and condition ourselves and consecrate ourselves enough so we can do the things. We can now act the way he wants us to act and move the way he wants us to move and love the way he wants us to love. Do the little part that we can do. Do what you can do, and God will do the miracle that he can do. We're not seeing the miracle partly because we're not focused on being what God has called us to be. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you and spitefully use you. I know what you're saying. You're saying, Pastor, I don't think that's all what Jesus meant. Mm-hmm. I don't think he meant for you to pray for those who abuse you and not, you know, beat them down first. I think the Lord gave me good common sense, and he wants me to kind of beat them down first, and then I'll pray for them. And then I'll, well, you might could think that, but since you're thinking that, let me just read to you the other part of that verse, and I'm done. Back in Luke chapter 6, it says, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Verse 29. If one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. Say again. To one who strikes you on the cheek, on the jaw, yeah, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic. Mm-hmm. One who takes away your outer garment, give me inner garment too. To take your coat, give me your shirt also. Now, I noticed controversy. You're gonna say, "My pastor, ain't nobody gonna be hitting up on me. I ain't down with that." Listen to what he's saying. He's more talking about the attitude you ought to have when things are happening to you because you possess the Holy Spirit in your life. He said he's given us power to be able to endure. It's not about when someone slapped you, you let them slap you again and slap you again and beat up on you. That's not what he's telling us. He said the first thing you could think about when someone slaps you, when somebody hits you, when somebody abuses you, he said that if the first thing you could think about is that you're going to stand tall and says, I love God. God loves you. You're hurting yourself more than you're hurting me. I only want the best for you, and I'm going to pray for you because I know you don't have the peace that God has. Now, I'm not saying to do this to make people upset and worse, but I can tell you, people who are out to do you harm, who mean you bad, and they're saying things particularly to upset you, you do realize they get more upset when you don't get upset. You do realize they're more hurt than if you hit them back. I know you hit pretty hard, but I'm just saying, they're more hurt when you don't hit them back. There's something in this about God's word that we need to hear as a nation, that we need to hear as individuals, we need to hear as family. Too many of us want things our way and our way only because we know the right way. But the right way is found in God's word. The right way is when we can see the situation that's all around us and focus on who God is, focus on his love for us, focus on the example he's given us. We're in the season now where we're talking about he's getting led up to the cross. We're in the season right now where we're talking about what Jesus did for you and for me. How the religious leaders constantly attacked him. How they were so out to get him. How they were so upset with him. How they said all kind of mean things about him. We're in the season now where we're talking about the fact that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, came and allowed them to abuse him. Allowed him to talk about him. Allowed him to ridicule him. We're just now in the season where a couple of Sundays from now, we're going to talk about the fact and what they did to him on that Friday. How they had whipped him all night long on that Thursday night. And on Friday, they marched him up to Golgotha's hill. They put nails in his hands and nails in his feet with a crown of thorns on his head. And because he loved you so much, and because he loved me so much, our Lord and Savior hung on the cross from the sixth to the ninth hour. And the Bible says, on the cross, he died for your sins and my sins. Yes, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Somebody ought to say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. He died for us because we've sinned and we've come short. We've messed up. We've said things which we should not have said. We've done things we should not have done. We've not said some things we should have said. We've not done some things we should have done. But our Lord and Savior, who had no sins, took on all of our sins, and he died. He died. But the story doesn't stop there. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all night Friday, stayed there all day Saturday, stayed there all night Saturday night. But early,
on that Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with power. Power over the grave. Victory over death. And the Bible says he ascended into heaven, sent back the Holy Spirit to live in us and to guide us and to direct us and to give us power to do the work God has called us to do. Focus on who God is. Focus on his love for you. Focus on what he'll do when we pray and we ask him to do what only God can do in all of our lives. He can give us joy. He can give us peace. He can give us everything we need. Let me conclude with this, because I forgot to tell you, I didn't share it with you. That's in this text here. When you look at Philippians 4 through 7, and it says, look what happens. It says, let your and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I forgot to tell you what the result is when you pray. I forgot to tell you what will happen when you take time to focus on who God is. I didn't tell you what the Word of God says, what happens when you take the time and focus on who he is and let your request be made known unto God. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, hallelujah, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Pastor, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you that even when you pray for those who abuse you, even when you pray for those who despitefully use you, even when you pray for others, that the others might not be transformed, but you will be the one that can be transformed. God will give you a peace that passes all understanding. God will give you a joy that only you can have, that God will give you in your circumstance and your situation. God will give you everything that you need. So somebody ought to take time right now and say, even in the midst of what I'm going through, I got to tell the Lord, thank you. You're going to thank him today for where he brought us from where he brought us to, and from what he brought us through. We got to give God all the praise, the honor, and the glory. If you're here today and you realize, I just don't have peace, I don't have joy, it's so much stuff that got me out of focus, so much stuff had me not looking unto the author and finishing my faith, so much stuff that just keeps me where I can't pray, I just can't get it together. Listen, I want to give you an opportunity right now to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That he will be Lord of your life as well as Savior. He gives us eternal life, but he also gives us peace and joy even before we go into eternity. So if you want to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, right now, take this time to pray this prayer with me. I can't pray it for you. I can lead you in this prayer, but this is a prayer you have to pray. Because the Bible says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God is raising from the dead, you shall be saved. That's it. That's Romans 10 and 9. So right now, if you're listening and paying attention, accept Jesus Christ right now. Don't have to worry about anybody else. Don't have to look around at anyone else. You can pray this prayer with me and accept the Lord. Pray this prayer. Say, Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life and help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, contact us. You see the number scrolling there on the screen. Just contact us and let us know, and we'll contact you, get back in touch with you. If you call the church office, just leave a message. We'll get back with you. The lines will be clear. You can get through, do that. We thank God for you. Thank you for coming to worship with us here at First African Baptist Church.
You also have an opportunity to give. You can give through Giblify, G-I-B-E-L-I-F-Y. As you give through Giblify, you have the various categories you can give. Just give, and we give God praise. Go ahead and pay your tithe and offering. Oh, yes. I hear you say, Lord, I thank you. Yes. All right. Just to help those out, 10% of $1,400 is $140. Just thought I'd put it out there. Kind of confused about that. All right. But just, amen. Give God praise. So even as you give on today, we thank God for your giving. All you can mail your contribution to First African Baptist Church, 23 Montgomery Street, Savannah, Georgia, 31401. But we just ask that you just take the time to give. We thank you so much for sharing with us. We thank you so much for allowing God to lead you, guide you, and direct you, and for you sharing this day with us. We look forward to you being with us on Thursday night at 6:30. We look forward for you being with us in our very special Christian education showcase. Share with us on this Thursday. And again, on Sunday School Empowerment Hour on next Sunday at 9 a.m. on Zoom. We just say to God be the glory. Bless you. May God keep you and strengthen you in all that you do. Be encouraged and stay focused. God loves you. Let us pray. God, we love you, we adore you, magnify you, and help us to be focused upon your will and your way. Help us to not be distracted by things of this world and to trust you even more. And now we ask that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let all the people of God say amen and praise God.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Giblify, G-I-V-E-L-I-F-Y. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.